All right, good morning. Let's go ahead and open the message in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and to hear your word and just to meet with you and be in your presence today. And Lord, I ask that you would be here with us, that your Holy Spirit would just fill this place with your presence today, Lord, and that everyone who is in this building and who leaves this building after the message, Lord, will feel, just know that you were here, that they have met with you and had an encounter with you today, Heavenly Father, and that they will not leave here and leave you behind, but they will leave here and take you with them, Heavenly Father, so that we are able to abide in you, as our message is going to tell us today. So, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures for us, and Lord, help us to understand what it is that you are trying to speak to each and every one of us today. And Lord, please use these words to draw us closer to you and into a more deeper, personal, intimate relationship with you. And Lord, we just ask that you have your way in our service, and we give you all the praise and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So last week, we answered the question, what is joy? In particular, biblical joy. And we compared joy and happiness. Happiness, we said, is an emotion that fluctuates depending on our circumstances. Kind of like my balloon here. This is my, you guys saw the two purple balloons that are on the floor last week. This was the one I had to replace it with because my balloons did not last, just like our happiness does not last. So our happiness is like the balloon that floats and sways and rises and falls with the movement and temperature of the air. And while joy is the settled confidence that God is in control, the quiet assurance that he is good, and the deep delight that he comes from, or that comes from belonging to him, regardless of our circumstances. And we talked about the fact that joy, while happiness is like the balloon, joy is like an anchor because it's anchored in God's love and his grace. And like an anchor, joy holds us steady and can persist even in the midst of grief, hardship, and discomfort. So happiness is like a balloon and joy is like an anchor. I want to give you another illustration. I have two glasses here, and if you want to switch to the next slide. So I have two glasses here, and I have a little, listen for it. So in this one glass, I'm going to pour a little bit of soda. And what happens with that soda?
You drink it.
It bumples up. Oh, you drink it? If I drink it right now, it would tickle my nose and my face as it's bubbling up. So it bubbles up. And what happens to those bubbles? They go away. So my first glass, I have some soda. So the soda represents happiness based on circumstances. When you first open the bottle or the can, the soda fizzes and foams. It bubbles and tickles your nose as you try to drink it. You can even hear the bubbles as they fizz. But over time, the soda, as it sits in the glass, the gas escapes as they rise to the surface and the bubbles pop. If the soda is left out long enough, it becomes flat and no longer bubbles and fizzes. And quite personally for me, I think it tastes pretty nasty, but that's my opinion. Our happiness is the same way. When things are good or even great, we have an emotion inside that just bubbles up and overflows. Life seems easy and everything is flowers and rainbows. But that high only lasts for so long. Eventually our bubbles run out, just like with the soda. Unless we are able to have a constant need, or we have a constant need with happiness for something that will keep that emotion high, to keep those bubbles flowing and popping. Well, in my second glass, I'm gonna pour some water. Is water like the soda? Does it bubble and foam? And no. So in my glass here, I have a glass full of water that is plain and clear and clean water. This glass is like the ocean, or excuse me, is like a deep well of water. It is quiet and steady and enduring. It is the same throughout. Nothing bubbles or fizzes. It does not lose its appeal when it goes flat. This glass represents our biblical joy. Sometimes that is something that is not an emotion. It does not move and sway with our circumstances, but it is steady and constant. This is joy that comes from the Spirit and the presence of God. God never promised us a life full of happy circumstances, but He did promise us a joy that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. So where do people look for joy? They look for it in their money, in their relationships, in success, in entertainment, in vacations. All of these things can bring happiness, but none of them can produce lasting joy. So today we're going to answer another question, and that question is, what is the source of our joy? Think back to when you were a child. It was always a fun and happy time to go to the playground, to spend time flying high on the swings or spinning endlessly on the merry-go-round or hanging upside down from the monkey bars. A child can have the nicest playground in the world with all the bells and whistles, all the swings and merry-go-rounds and climbing walls and bars and slides. But if their parent never spends time with them, something is still missing. Likewise, we can enjoy God's blessings and still miss the greatest gift of all, and that is God Himself. For daily living, this means trading temporary worldly escapes like the playground for a relationship with God to find deep, lasting peace. By following His directions, we experience enduring joy and divine purpose rather than fleeting happiness. We're going to be in the bulk of our message today in John 15, 1 through 3. We will skip around to some other verses, but if you have a bookmark or your little ribbon in your Bible, if you want to mark John 15, we will be coming back there throughout the message. And we're going to start with the first three verses of John 15 today. And in these verses, John 15, 1 through 11, Jesus uses the metaphor of the vine and the branches to illustrate the believer's vital, intimate connection to Jesus. So starting with verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 3. It says, I am the true vine, not just the vine, but the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus says, begins by saying, I am the true vine. The vine is the source of life for every branch. The branch has no life in itself. Likewise, we cannot produce joy ourselves. We cannot sustain joy ourselves, and we cannot manufacture spiritual fruits ourselves. Jesus is the source of all spiritual life and nourishment. Just as a branch cannot live or bear grapes when cut from the vine, believers can do nothing of eternal value without Christ. Many believers try to produce joy by changing their circumstances, acquiring possessions, staying busy, and depending on emotions. As we read last week in Galatians 5:22, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is produced naturally when the branch remains connected to the vine. Therefore, joy, a fruit of the Spirit, comes from remaining connected to Jesus. How many of you have a cell phone? I am one who plugs my cell phone in at night, and it charges all night while I sleep. I don't carry a charger with me unless I know I'm going to be somewhere like the emergency room in the middle of the night, and my phone might run out of charge and I need to be able to stay connected with people. But my students, on the other hand, they do not do this. I'm sure they're up all night playing with their phones and they never think to charge it, or they carry one with them. And I get asked at least once a day, if not more, if I have a charger or if they can use the plugs in our Chrome carts to charge their phones. So think about a phone charger. A phone may be expensive and powerful, but disconnected from power, it eventually dies. Some believers are spiritually running at a 2% battery because they have not remained connected to the source. We have to plug in. We have to recharge. If we continue reading in John 15, verses 4 through 6, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and it is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned." So the question here, we see abide, abide, abide. I abide in you, you abide in me. But what does the word abide mean? The word abide means to remain, to dwell, to stay connected, to make your home in. To abide in Jesus means to constantly stay rooted in him. Christian joy is not found in occasional visits with Jesus, but in continual fellowship with him. So then that leads to the question, how do we abide? So if we keep reading verse 7, it says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." And my words abide in you. This is more than just reading the Bible. This means saturating your daily routine in his word. If we take a look, remember, keep your finger or your ribbon bookmark at John 15. We're going to go back a little bit into the Old Testament to the book of Jeremiah. And yes, I'll say it before my brother Ken, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. There you go. See, we got it out of our system. So we're going to go to chapter 15, verse 16 of Jeremiah. Is everyone there? Okay. So Jeremiah 15, 16. This is part of a larger prayer that is done from verses 15 through 21, where the prophet laments the heavy burden of his ministry. He is surrounded by hostility and feels alienated because he faithfully delivers an unpopular message. So verse 16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." These words express the prophet's deep internalization and treasuring of God's message. By stating he ate God's words, Jeremiah illustrates the complete inward digestion of divine truth, which transformed his severe persecution into spiritual sustenance, deep joy, and the realization of his identity as God's representative. Eating the words is a metaphor for taking God's truth into the core of one's being. It represents reading, meditating, deep reflection, and truly understanding divine instruction rather than just casually reading it. Finding, internalizing, and submitting to God's word provides profound spiritual nourishment and steadfast joy. Just as physical food sustains the body, actively consuming and meditating on the word is necessary to sustain the soul. Jeremiah says that the word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He had joy amidst suffering. Despite being called the weeping prophet due to intense rejection and the impending doom of Judah, Jeremiah found genuine, unshakable delight in God's message. He found joy by focusing on God's truth rather than his grim circumstances. And Jeremiah also finds his identity and calling. The phrase, "For I am called by your name," establishes his purpose. He recognizes that he was a vessel for the Lord Almighty, which brought him immense honor despite his difficult circumstances. Like Jeremiah, believers can take courage from knowing they bear the name of the Lord Almighty, anchoring their purpose in a higher calling rather than worldly approval. God's word brings joy because it reminds us of who he is, who we are, and what God has promised. So our first way to abide is by being in the word. Our second way to abide is through prayer. And we're going to go to Psalms 5:11. Verse 11 says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." This verse commands believers to take refuge in God and rejoice, trusting that he acts as a protector. We need to actively choose to center our identity and emotional well-being on God's character instead of our earthly circumstances. Prayer is not merely requesting or presenting requests. It is enjoying fellowship with God. And how do we fellowship with him if we don't ever talk to him? So how do we do this? Consciously transitioning from complaining to praising. We need to shift our focus from the storm to your defender. We need to spend time in morning prayer, actively visualizing God as your shield and ask him to cover your day. Cultivate shouts of joy instead of waiting for a purely emotional response. We do this by expressing gratitude, singing, and recounting answered prayers, even in difficult seasons, and meditate on his names. We need to spend time learning the different names of Jesus, things like Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi. By learning these names, it helps to deepen our love for his character and more easily boast about him to others. So we have being in the word, and we have praying to our God. Our third way to abide in Jesus is through our worship. Let's flip to Psalms 95, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 95 is a call to worship and obedience. Verse 1 says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Each line begins with, let us. This shows that praise is designed to be shared together in community, not just individually. Sing for joy tells us that true biblical worship is meant to be joyful and emotionally expressed. Shout aloud. In the Hebrew, this term implies a loud, passionate triumph or a joyful battle cry. True faith is meant to be vocal. We need to mentally and verbally list blessings to fulfill the instruction to come before him with thanksgiving. We need to participate enthusiastically by lifting our voices in song and utilizing instruments. And your hands are instruments. You can clap, you can wave them, there's all kinds of things that you can do. You don't just have to have a physical instrument. We need to take the time to recognize God as the ultimate foundation and rescuer. Don't worry if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. The psalm says, shout joyfully, not sing melodically. God is our audience, not the person next to you. There is something about worship that lifts our eyes from our problems to our Savior. The fourth way to abide in Jesus is through obedience. Let's continue back in John 15 with verse 8. We're going to read 8 through 10 this time. It says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What a better example than Jesus himself obeyed the commandments that he calls us to obey. So in verse 10, Jesus connects obedience and joy. The world says obedience limits joy, but Jesus says obedience produces joy. Think of a train. A train runs on tracks, and a train experiences freedoms when it stays on its tracks. When it leaves its tracks, it is no longer free. It is derailed. Likewise, true joy is found in walking in God's design. Because we love the Lord, we want to be obedient to him, not to earn his love and salvation, but to show our love for him. Life can easily derail us, especially when we want to live under our own power and live by the ways of the world. But when we are obedient and when we allow God to prune us by removing distractions and sin and obstacles, we are able to grow spiritually. The growth draws us closer and helps us to constantly abide in him. So abiding means being in God's presence, and it produces fullness of joy. And if we look at Psalm 16:11, Psalm 16:11. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Notice the progression here. In your presence leads to fullness of joy. Not partial joy, not temporary joy, but fullness of joy. Now let's take a look at Exodus 33. Verses 14 and 15. And Moses here is interceding for the Israelites following the catastrophic sin of the golden calf, when God states that he will not personally travel with the stiff-necked people to the promised land. And Moses boldly demands God's continual presence. So in Exodus 33, 14 and 15, it says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, he being the little he, Moses, said to him, the big H, him of God, in your presence does not go with you, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In verse 14, God responds to Moses' plea with grace. The Hebrew word for rest here implies a peaceful, comfortable confidence. God is not just offering a physical destination, but an assurance that he will personally guide and sustain them through every challenge. And in verse 15, Moses responds with, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses understood something we often forget. God's presence is more valuable than God's blessings. Moses makes it clear that the promised land is not a reward without God's fellowship. To him, God's active presence is the sole distinguishing factor that sets the Israelites apart from all other nations. And he refuses to take a single step forward, relying only on his own strength or an angelic escort. He wanted God with them. Think of a thunderstorm. A small child wakes up during a thunderstorm, and the storm does not stop. The thunder does not cease. But when the parent comes into the room, the child is no longer afraid. What changed? The presence of someone they trust. The storms of life do not always disappear, but God's presence changes everything. And in his presence, we find and have the fullness of joy. Since the source of joy, our joy, is Christ, the world cannot give or take this joy away. In John 16:22 that we read last week, we are told that your joy no one will take from you. Why? Because our joy is rooted in Christ, not circumstances. People can take your money, your health, and your comfort, but they cannot take Christ from you. And we also read last week in Romans 8:38 and 39 that we are told that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Therefore, nothing can ultimately steal our joy. But in order to have that joy, you must abide in him. And while nothing can steal your joy, do we give it away or leave it behind? Our joy is supposed to be an anchor that binds us to Jesus. But what happens when we let out the rope that secures us to him? One of our dogs, and she's in the next picture, I don't talk about her a lot. Usually you guys hear me talk about Louie. But this is my sweet little girl. She's almost 10 years old. This is one of my favorite pictures of her. She's watching us work a puzzle at the table behind our sofa. But we found out that she has a little bit of anxiety, especially when she goes out to new places or when she encounters new people. And one of the things that our trainer suggested was to take her on what they called sniffaries. This is a dog-led walk that prioritizes scent exploration over distance. You see, dogs use their sense of smells, and that works their brains, which apparently calms their anxiety. So part of a sniffari is to take your dog off of their normal leash, and this is one of their leashes. It's only 6 feet long. So you take them off of their regular leash and you put them on a lead that looks something more like this, where it's 15 to 30 feet long. And you allow them to wander and to smell all of the smells that they encounter. But it also takes the dog farther away from you. And while they are still anchored to you at the end of this lead, you have less influence and control of where they go and what they do. They are less likely to hear your voice and obey their commands when they're used to this distance from you, and now they have this distance from you. That's a lot of wandering that can occur. So a lot of times we want to be on a sniffari with God instead of walking by his side on a 4 to 6 foot leash. We want to be on the 15 to 30 foot lead. Are we truly able to abide in him when we are that far away? And my answer to that is no. In order to abide in him, we need to have a close personal relationship. We need to walk by his side. Abiding produces full joy, as we see in John 15:11. says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus doesn't merely want us to have joy. He wants us to have his joy. And this isn't just any joy. Let's take a look at Hebrews 12:2. Well, no, it's in here because we're studying it. Hebrews 12:2, is everybody there? Says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." This joy sustained Jesus through his rejection, through his suffering, and through the cross. That same joy is available for us. So as we close today, I would like you to think about your relationship with Jesus and ask yourself some of these questions. Am I trying to find joy in something other than Christ? Have I neglected my time with God? Am I connected to the vine or merely visiting the vine? Is God's presence my greatest desire? What does your relationship look like? Are you abiding in Christ through his word, through prayer, through worship, and through obedience? Or are you settling for knowing about Jesus instead of knowing Jesus? Are you settling for receiving blessings instead of pursuing His presence? Are you settling for chasing after happiness instead of joy? I want to close today with Psalm 73, 25 and 26. Verse 25 and 26 says, Who have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The moon has no light on its own. It simply reflects the light of the sun. Likewise, believers have no joy in themselves. Our joy comes from remaining near the sun. The farther the moon moves from the sun's light, the darker it becomes. The farther we drift from Christ, the dimmer our joy becomes. But when we abide in Him, our lives shine with His joy. The closer we walk with Jesus, the deeper our joy becomes. Joy is not something we achieve. It is someone with whom we abide. I want to give you a challenge this week. You will find this on the back of your bulletin labeled Joy Challenge. And there's two parts to it. Under the prayer request, there is the first part, and it says, the challenge is this week, don't simply ask, how can I have more joy? Instead, ask, how can I spend more time abiding in Jesus? Because where Jesus is, joy follows. And then right next to that, at the end of the notes section, it gives you four things to do. One, read John 15, 1 through 11 each day. Pray, Lord, help me abide in you today. And then practice by spending 15 uninterrupted minutes in God's presence. And then do a little reflecting. Where did I experience the joy of being close to Christ this week? Or maybe even you want to do it daily. Where did I experience the joy of being close to Christ today? And I put it on your bulletin so you will have it this week. So you can't say I didn't get my challenge or that I didn't remember it. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. And I thank you for the fact, Joy, that you don't just say I'm going to give you joy, but you tell us how to have that joy and what our source is. And that our source is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, all we have to do is have that relationship, be willing to spend time and our word, spend time talking to Him in prayer, spend time being obedient, and Lord, spend time just worshiping you, and our joy will be made full because we will receive your joy. And it will help us to walk through anything, just like the joy that Christ had helped Him through the suffering, helped Him through the crucifixion. That same joy can help us through the trivial things that we find so debilitating in this life compared to what He walked through. So Lord, I ask this week that as I have given this challenge, that we would be willing to accept it, to learn what it truly means to abide in you as we draw closer to you, Heavenly Father, through reading the word, through praying and through obedience and through worship, that we will have a stronger, closer relationship, that we won't be off paying attention to all the sniffs and the sniffari, but that we will be walking there at your heel, at your side, where we can be close to you and hear you and get your direction and receive your joy. And Lord, I just thank you for the fact that that is all we have to do. It just sounds so easy, but we make it so, so hard. So Lord, I ask this week that you would help us to abide in you, help us to walk with you, to be closer to you, and to receive and experience that joy that you have to offer. Lord, I ask that you be with us today, that you will go to us with us to our next destination. And Lord, that you would keep us safe and that you will bring us back next week to be with you, to learn more about your word as we come back for Bible study. Be with us as we come to fellowship and worship and be obedient to you as we serve you this week in the various ways that we have through the food bank and school supply and OCC, Lord, that you would just be with us. And bring us back safely to serve and learn more about you. And we just give you all the praise and glory, Heavenly Father, for it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand for the benediction. As you go from this place today, remember that your joy is not found in what you accomplished this week, but in the one with whom you walk. May you abide in Jesus each day, finding him in his word, meeting him in prayer, worshiping him with all your heart, and following him in joyful obedience. As you remain in his presence, may your roots grow deeper, your faith become stronger, and your joy become fuller. When the pressures of life seek to pull you away, may the Holy Spirit gently draw you back to the vine, reminding you that apart from Christ, we can be nothing, but in him we have everything we need. May his presence be your peace, his promises be your confidence, and his joy be your strength. May those who meet you this week see not only kindness in your words and love in your actions, but the unmistakable joy of a life that is abiding in Jesus. Now may the good God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in the peace of Christ, remain in his presence, abide in his love, and rejoice in the Lord always. Amen.